Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CSL Finance Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call hosted by TIL Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayyam Pokharna from TIL Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today on this call. As a reminder, our Q4 and FY24 results, along with the investor presentation, have been filed with the stock exchange and are available on our company website. For those not on the mailing list, please feel free to reach out to us and we will email you future updates regarding the company. Joining us today to discuss our results and provide an overview of the business and the outlook for the future, we have members of the management team. I'll just name them out. Mr. Rohit Gupta, Managing Director. Mr. Amit Ranjan, Chief Operating Officer. Mr. Naresh Chandra Varshney, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chandan Kumar, Credit Head. Ms. Rachita Gupta, Full-Time Director. And Mr. Atul Agarwal, President, Finance and Treasury. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the whole year from Ms. Rachita Gupta, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call should be considered in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that are outlined in our annual report. With that, I'll hand over this call to Rachita. Over to you.
Thank you, Sayam. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm pleased to share with you the highlights of our company's performance in quarter 4 and FY24. Overall, as you can see, it has been a very good year for the company with an all-round performance on all key metrics. To begin with, our AUM has shown robust growth of 9% quarter-on-quarter and 38% year-on-year. Reaching a total of 1,030 crore of an AUM. Subsequently, our loan book has reached 926 crore as on financial year 24. With this, we have delivered on our AUM target of 1,000 crore for FY24. A significant portion of our incremental growth has been driven by our SME retail vertical, thus shifting our AUM mix further in favor of SME retail. Currently, the SME retail and the wholesale AUM mix stands at 44 to 56 in FY24, wherein we have seen a shift of 4% in the favor of SME retail over FY23. Disbursements across the entire year have been robust, while wholesale disbursement tends to be a little lumpy. Overall, we have seen significant improvement in this number. We have made cumulative disbursements of a total of 1,052 crores in FY24, registering a 39% growth over the previous year. Going forward, we will focus more on the SME retail vertical, which will also make the disbursements less lumpy, and wholesale vertical, our focus will be to generate off-book AUM, so co-lending, direct assignment and downselling models. Overall growth will be seen in both on-book and off-book AUM. Now we come to our asset quality, which has remained robust with a further improvement in GNPA and NNPA, which stood lower by 17% and 10 bps respectively over the previous financial year. Further, we are prudently provisioning a flat 1% of our loan book as opposed to the regulatory requirement of 0.4%. We are following a conservative accounting policy and are maintaining a provision coverage ratio of 270%. Furthermore, we have also witnessed decent tractions on the recovery front. In FY24, we have recovered a sum total of 2.34 crores from our earlier write-off. I would like to reiterate that within our NPAs and written-off accounts, we have a very strong mechanism in place to follow through on recoveries. We have a very robust team that works on our NPA recovery through various legal and collection teams and platforms. Our bad debt recovery has been strong, with more than 65 to 70% of the same has been recovered in the SME segment. And if we talk about our wholesale segment, there has been no NPA. Despite a 3% quarter-on-quarter growth in total income for quarter four, we experienced a 4% decrease in net interest income in Q4 due to higher liquidity and negative interest carry on the same. This was primarily due to sanctions received towards the end of the quarter, which could not be deployed immediately after quarter closing. However, our net profitability improved significantly with 11% quarter-on-quarter increase in PAT and a 57% increase year-on-year. For the full financial year, our net interest income is up by 38%, reaching 120 crore, and our net profit for FY24 stood at 63 crore, registering significant growth of 39% over FY23. Our yields have remained robust in both the verticals, and the majority of our portfolio has been repriced according to the prevailing interest rates over the last financial year. Given our healthy and profitable growth, I am pleased to announce that the board has recommended a dividend of 2.5 rupees per equity share. CSL Finance continues with its dividend paying policy, demonstrating our commitment to fair value creation for all our stakeholders. We are pleased to announce that we have added two new lending partners this quarter, DCB Bank and Indian Overseas Bank, in the quarter four. And our total lending partners at the end of the year stands at a total of 23, which is earlier in FY23, it was a total of 15 lenders. Another crucial update from last quarter has been the credit rating upgrade to A- stable from Equity Ratings Research from erstwhile BBB+. This is a very important development as the A rating allows us to access more funds at competitive rates. It will allow us to access more funds from public sector banks and help optimize our overall weighted average cost of borrowing. Additionally, our leverage ratio is very comfortable right now, and there is decent scope to leverage our book from existing one-time debt to equity to 2.5 times over the coming 2 years. This will further aid our ROE. Improving employee and branch level efficiency remains an ongoing activity and a key area of focus. AUM per branch has improved significantly in FY24, and as you can see from our presentation, aiding to branch profitability and overall profit contribution from the SME retail vertical. Subject to market conditions, we are looking to add significantly more branches in FY24. We will increase our branch count by 50% in FY25 and look to double the branch network in the next 2 years. A lot of improvements have happened in our existing branches as well with respect to teams, systems, infrastructures, and locations. As communicated earlier, we are working towards our off-book AUM, or towards growing our off-book AUM in both wholesale and SME retail through direct assignment, co-lending, and downsell structures to generate a sustainable fee-based income. This will help leverage our domain expertise and improve overall ROEs of the company. So far, we have accumulated a total of 104 crore of book AUM, and we expect this to increase recently in the coming year. We have the potential to generate an annual fee income of up to 2% of the AUM under direct assignment and co-lending without any legal recourse. I would also like to provide an update on the new Suvidha Loans product that we have been working on for the last couple of quarters. Firstly, we experienced a slowdown in disbursement and collections for this product during quarter four as we encountered several on-ground challenges with how the product and the loan accounts were behaving during this period. Furthermore, the festive month of Ramadan also led to a slowdown in both disbursements and collections for this product. Based on these learnings, we are currently re-engineering our systems and the Suvidha loan product itself. Once these improvements are implemented, we will roll out the product again. Additionally, the rollout of a dedicated new loan origination and disbursement platform for Suvidha loans has been delayed due to significant complexities involved in developing and implementing this unique and one-of-its-kind platform, which involves a mixture of personal loan and supply chain. However, we are in the final stages of concluding this task and expect the rollout to happen in quarter two of the new financial year. I want to reiterate that our utmost focus is on first establishing robust products and systems, followed by growth. We do not want to lend loosely, especially given that this is a first unsecured product offering lately. Finally, our outlook for the coming year remains robust with an AUM aspiration of up to 1,450 crores for FY25. This is subject to a conducive macro environment on both fundraise, front-end general business environment, but we are fairly confident in achieving our AUM targets. Further, we aim to achieve an AUM mix of 55 to 45 SME retail to wholesale in the coming years. As we scale up in the coming 2 years, we expect our ROEs to improve further and be in the range of 15 to 16%, which has already started to happen on a quarterly basis as of Q4. In conclusion, we are excited about the progress we have made in the fourth quarter and the full financial year 23-24. We remain committed to delivering value to our stakeholders and driving sustainable growth in the years to come. Thank you, everyone.
Should we begin with the question and answer session?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers and congratulations for the rating upgrade too. So my first question was on the rating upgrade and, you know, and its impact on our overall borrowing profile. So, you know, with this A- rating, we'll be able to access more PSU banks and our cost of borrowing is also expected to, you know, come down. So if you can, you know, highlight what kind of advantages do we see in terms of, you know, our overall borrowing cost as well as new banks being added in our lenders. So if you can talk about that first.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rohit Gupta. So definitely this rating upgrade we were looking for last, I would say, few quarters, and this has come in this second of this quarter in the March. And the rating definitely will help us on the PSU front, especially because certain banks have put a threshold of A-. In spite of that, they were keen to lend us, and that was one limitation for us. And with this coming first, the PSU will, lot of PSU will get opened. And secondly, the size which we can get from the PSUs are sometimes not available from the small finance bank or the larger NBFCs. So in terms of size and new openings from PSU banks, that will be there, and definitely the cost of borrowing will come down over a period of time. The incremental cost that will come down from all lenders and specifically from the PSU front may be in the range of initially 50 bps to 75 bps initially, and as going forward, we'll be able to leverage ourselves more.
Sure, sir. So, like, post the rating upgrade, have we added further lenders in our, you know, borrowing profile?
Yeah, definitely. But right now, we have only 4-5 PSU lenders, even those lenders, three lenders, and even those, they have taken a special approval to fund as a A-, but with this coming, the focus will be going forward will be on the PSU banks and the larger private sector banks. So definitely it will help us both in terms of the size which we are able to get from those these lenders and in terms of cost of borrowing, and we see that they will be on a weighted average will be lower 50 bps to 75 bps. I would say the immediate this 2-3 quarters and going forward as our overall costs keep on going down, with the new borrowing cost, we will have more bargaining power with the lenders at that time.
Sure, sir. Sir, my second question was on the team strength. You know, we have seen a significant jump in number of team members from, you know, 421 people in by end of FY24 compared to 257 which were there last year, and we had just added, you know, 3 branches last year. So what has led to this significant jump in our team strength despite, you know, opening hardly 3 branches last year?
No, as we told, the focus was to make the existing branches more productive and to increase their I would say the geography. So the focus was to keep more salespeople, add more salespeople there with the existing branches, and strengthening our middle level team in having our cluster heads and both in on terms of sales, collections, and on the credit side. So those strengthening of middle level and senior and the people at the branches have been done, and with this strengthening, now we need not add people at the middle and senior level with the extension which we have planned in next 2 years, and we are planning a aggressive extension. This is what we have done in last 3 years. So we are thinking of opening 50% more branches, which may be in the range of 16 to 20 branches in this financial year, and the same number the next financial year. So that was required. Because of those parameters, and in addition to that, we opened a new unsecured, quasi-unsecured fabricated region, which also we are around 40 people were deployed. So that was also one of the reasons which we did 2 quarters back.
Sure. So how do you see the employee cost, which had jumped significantly last year, you know, will we continue to see, you know, 30-40% growth in our employee cost given the new branches that we are planning to launch next year, over the next 2 years?
I would say now we are in the middle of appraisal also. Appraisal will also add some portion of the cost, and I wouldn't say that there will be 30% rise. Because now we only require people at the branch. We don't require people at the middle level, at the regional level, or at the SO level. So the cost, I think, should not go beyond 20-25% in this financial year.
Sure, sir. And my last question was on the Suvidha loans. So, you know, we have been working on this for close to a year now. And, you know, there have been some tinkering that you have mentioned in the presentation regarding the platform and the changes that you are making. But, you know, you would have been able to evaluate the kind of opportunity and the risk which exists in the segment. So, you know, let's say when we are starting with this rollout of our new platform next year, so how do you see this segment scaling out for us, scaling up for us over the next 2-3 years? You know, we like currently it's hardly anything contributing anything to our AUM. So how do you see this segment going for us, and what kind of risk are associated with this segment?
Yeah, Amit is there, our CEO for the retail part. Yeah.
So basically, you have rightly highlighted that in the last year we have started this product. And in the first quarter, as in the presentation, it is given that we are soft on Suvidha, because whatever learnings which we have taken from the last 8 to 9 months, we are incorporating into the system. And once we relaunch it in the month of July, it will be totally on the digital platform. And the idea is to, you know, take it to the next level, because we have seen there is a pull in the market that this kind of product is nobody is selling. And we have been able to, you know, onboard around 15 to 1600 clients, out of which around active is around 900 clients as of today. And we don't see any challenges in scaling up once the digital platform is ready. And the team is also there. So primarily, if you see, the cost will come only on the RMRO side, because this is a product where mainly RORM is required to source the business. So we are very, very confident that this will be a another good product for company as well as for the, you know, population also. So that's the idea, and that is the reason we are plugging all the, you know, shortcomings which was there in the earlier product, and maybe from July 1st we will be able to relaunch it.
Yeah, Ankit, I will just like to add. Initially, when we started as a kind of a term loan with lot of credit checks and all those. And as we thought that let's scale up, so a lot of things were little bit loosened. And secondly, to be very frankly, this segment in the north, it's a community dominated with Muslims, are 80-85%. And thirdly, I would say we are certain things with the learnings which have come in terms of making that e-way bill must be captured. Sometimes the account goes into DPD, the same address or who applicant is not disbursed. Our MICs should come at live at all times in terms of collections and how the disbursements are happening. That needs to be reduced. So all those things which we made the system, but there were certain practical learnings from that. and where we have to now thought of in building the retailer into it also, keeping some kind of I would say kind of annuity income to him, and looping him in the total system so as to have a better control over the borrower, and to have a better authenticity that it is going for the supply chain finance only. And a little bit, so we thought, we have been, as you know, we always think that we must have that complete domain knowledge, and it has helped us to have the, I would say, 360 degree view in terms of learning from all angle. Now, focus is to build a new model, and we are building a little, some changes in the team is also happening, and at the same time, we are focusing with the existing team to focus on collection, and the fresh business is not the way we were doing it earlier, and we will do it with more aggression in the month of July with everything coming on board. And the system which we were developing and the tweaking which were happening, so even the service provider was also taking time because the learning was giving us more tweaking at every time, and that is why that system which we developed needs to be little changed. Keeping in view of all those things.
Yes. So how big do you think this segment can become for us over the next 2-3 years? And in addition to that, you know, we have started this product with just one company, APL, and targeting fabricators. Do you think, you know, we can also expand it to other segments and other companies?
Yeah, definitely. We thought that now to make it a little more, I would say, and to increase our size, we thought that we will go beyond APL only. It's the APL, the subvention was coming, and those we will be funding with the interest cost. And we have also thought that we will increase, we were doing it with around 20 to 22, we will increase our interest rates to take care on the credit cost side also. So, and then we can leverage to other, I would say, items and all those. Yeah, apart from steel, we can look at other, but yes, initially, the focus for after relaunch for 9 months to 12 months will be on this segment, plus doing for other manufacturers where the subvention will not be there and we'll be charging interest from day one. So it's a kind of a quasi personal loan where we have to ensure that the amount which we are going is only going for the funding of their invoices, because the retailer is not settling his old bad debt. So a lot of those, and system has to drive this, and the MSEs should be coming at all times live with all our team, and to make all those things in the system, we are reorienting it, and with this new version, we'll be relaunching, and we'll say with more confidently on this segment after, I would say, end of September when we relaunch it. And but now at the end of the day, we like to sum for us, it's a lending, one of the lending piece. So our SME has been doing extremely good at the same time wholesale. So this was a third product which we have added. And I would say it's a little maybe slow at what we promised, and a little more cautious, but that has been our ethos, and that we first learn it, and we don't want that we do a huge mistake of building a credit cost and then implementing those learnings. So we have been upfront and little cautious, and that's why we have thought of going to a new platform with the new policies and processes around that.
So thank you, Nisha, all the best.
The next question is from the line of Anant Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My first question is that we have seen a significant increase in the fee income on a year-on-year basis, where, like, you know, it's gone up from 5 crores to 9.5 crores. Which is like even in relation to the interest income, it's significantly higher. The growth in the fee and commission income. Can you just help explain what is the reason for this, and can we see this trend continue in the coming year?
Yeah, definitely. We are doing two. One is the retail part. When we are doing a retail, so typically our IRRs are we have done lending at around 18%, and the DA is happening between 10 to 11%, so we're getting a spread of 6 to 7% on the retail. Yes, it's without any kind of recourse, but at the same time we are very cautious, and it will only grow if our the quality of our the book which we are downselling is good. And on the wholesale, typically we are able to get 1.5 to 2%, which on the downsell and on the DA part, and sometimes the spread is more where we are downselling our own book. And a little bit of fee income is also coming from the co-lending, which is not captured in our AUM, where the fee element is lesser. So it's a combination of all three: retail, where the spreads are higher, DA on the wholesale, where it is typically 1.5 to 2%, and typically on co-lending, where it is between 1 to 1.25%.
Okay.
Even our co-lending on the wholesale is roughly around 500 crores, so that is also one element of that.
Okay, so the fee incomes get generated from all these activities.
Yeah.
Okay.
And inside of that, we wanted to build our SME. We built small relationship with PSU banks on the retail side, as we see that being our book being PSL and qualifying, all our book qualifies as PSL, and the rest part as a MSME book, and where lot of PSU banks and larger NBFCs are very keen to go on a co-lending model.
Okay. Thanks for that. The second question is, like, you know, Ankit before me had asked this question on the Suvidha loans. If you could just give some idea in terms of, you know, what is the, I know it would be difficult for you to quantify as to what a loan book could be in Suvidha maybe a year from now, because there's still the system needs to come up, and it needs to stabilize, we need to grow a book. But purely from an opportunity point of view, if you can give us some idea, that would be very helpful. And second question is that...
I would say we have a debt of around 1,50,000 fabricators across all India. So on a typically we are lending, maybe penetrating 10 to 15%. So 15 to 20,000 customers on an average 1.5 to 2 lakhs, which remain there for 90 days. So that can be an immediate opportunity, which can be, I would say, we can encash it, or we can target it in next 2 to 3 years. But at the same time, it is one of the products, and we have to see operating cost and the credit cost. And with the new version, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to control both of that. And for a lender, one part is coming from the company where we have associated with in terms of the data and the subvention for a limited period. Yeah, the other part is to optimize the credit cost and the operating cost.
So the opportunity size, you said, is like 15 to 20,000. Can you just quantify that for me in terms of, you know, how, what, like 3 months is the tenure, but in terms of...
10 to 15% in next 2 years, 3 years, roughly around... 150 to maybe 150 to 200 crore. If our ticket size remains 1 and 1.5 lakhs, and we can increase our ticket size, then our penetration can also increase. So there is nobody else. And when you do the same segment again and again, you develop a domain knowledge. And we as a company think that that is the key to our differentiator or USP as compared to others. Yes, the way we thought we'll be able to do in last 2 quarters, the performance is not up to mark, but yes, we thought that instead of going with the existing platform and building a little credit cost and all those, we thought it's better to halt for a few months, build a new system, and at the same time, all those learnings we must incorporate.
Great. Last question from
one thing: we can increase our IRRs also. Initially we thought that it can't go beyond 20 to 22%, but now we foresee that we can even target at a higher IRR, maybe 300 to 400 bits higher, and that will also take care of our credit cost to some extent.
Oh, that's good to hear. Question from my side. We have seen that, you know, the ticket size has actually come down every quarter. So, any reason for that?
Suvita.
Yeah, Suvita.
It was intentionally. We as a management decided that we should focus first on numbers, learning the various geographies, behavior of those customers, build that history into that, and it was basically, I have been keep on saying for last two quarters, it's a pilot, and the pilot with huge, bigger size, I don't think that make any sense for us. It was that onboarding the customers, they are able to know what CSL is, and understanding their credit behavior, understanding the geographies, and building the team and implementing the system. So for that, we are not in the initial year, even in the next year. It will not be, the first year will never be a year where we can make any substantial income out of that. Where because your operating cost will be higher 3 to 6 months, then you optimize that cost, and the thrust will be on to acquire customers. And because it is a very repetitive business, and once you have acquired, the next effort going forward comes down.
Got it. You have mentioned before as well. So once our, the system comes up, the new system comes up with around July is when you said. Do you think that we would be on board other other clients as well, like, you know, other or have other partnerships? When do we see that? You know, APL Apollo, we are already working.
So I can't, as of now, whenever we have gone, there was a lot of demand that while you are limiting with one company, and because sometimes APL sells that their quality and their costs are higher as compared to B-grade customers, and sometimes in tier 2, tier 3 cities, they want product from those companies also. So going forward, we will be funding those customers also who are going beyond APL, but we will be charging interest from day one where the subvention may not be coming from those companies. And when we do that and exhibit to other companies that we can, then we may see that subvention coming from those companies. First, we will focus largely on APL and optimizing the product and seeing that operation on the new platform.
Okay. So maybe once it stabilizes 6 months after that?
In last 2-3 months, there has been a lot of, from the regulators and the banks regarding unsecured. So even our lenders sometimes used to ask, especially what kind of unsecured book you are having. So right now, very frankly, unsecured book is not being seen very positively by any of the lender or a rating agency.
Okay. Thanks for those answers. All the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Pankaj Parab from Molecules Venture. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the technology front. So we have been investing in technology since last 2-3 years. So I just wanted to know what's development here till now and how it will help us in going scale and getting scale in the future.
To answer that question, in the last couple of years, we've been constantly working from a very basic data entry system to a pretty much an evolved system. Like we are doing for SME loans, we are completely 100% digital. There is no paperwork happening even from loan origination and the underwriting. And we have built a very robust underwriting platform as well on today's date. Like everything is happening digitally, and with the number of API integrations in terms of fraudulent checks at the login and the kind of bureau analysis, bank statement analysis, ITR, GST, pulling out of all Udyam Aadhaar, we are doing it all automated at a click of a button. So from there and the disbursement stage and our collection platform is, we are receiving about 93% all digital via NACH, UPI, RTGS, and only a mere 6-7% is something which comes in collection, comes through cash. And we are also live on all the public platforms like all the Paytm, PhonePe, all these UPI apps. So in terms of digital transformation, we are constantly growing day in, day out. We have our system. Our system is also now getting closer to machine learning as well, as it's now taking up concepts of showing automatic deviations to the users whenever they're just putting up data, and we're constantly working on it day in, day out. Our dashboard systems, our and analytics systems, our dashboards are all in place, and we have a dedicated team who's working on creating those exhaustive dashboards with graphs and everything, which is so that we can have a better access to the technology. And like I said, we've been already evolving. Now we are going to be revamping our entire LOS, our loan origination platform, into a much better and a much smoother, which will definitely help us reduce our TAT, have a more streamlined and a smoother flow even than today.
Okay, and are we developing any in-house customer rating system for the credit disbursement or credit check sort of that?
The system where we do a lot of analysis in terms of whether through capturing various credit bureau checks, maybe coming from Finbob, Crave, Sable, and auto-analyzing, capturing various data. Our system is doing the machine learning, and those we are able to rate it. Being a secure product, target audience where still your banking and their cash flow analysis or GST or ITR doesn't fully reflect the true state of affairs of the customer. So how to do that based on certain qualitative and quantitative factors we have built in, and where based on that we are able to analyze it. But it is not an unsecured product where certain rules to put in, and where a lot of data is coming, and based on that you are able to do up to a certain amount of 50,000 month to less. Yes, you can put best of those things into a system which is already there, but it will give you a complete outcome, and based on those outcomes you are doing the lending. That will never happen, can never happen, because unless until you have your borrower is doing everything is in their numbers, which is not there because their GST or ITRs and banking doesn't reflect their even 70 to 80% of the business. So you have to evolve as for the segment, and the assessment has to be done. CD has to be done with the customer. Being a secure business, technical and legal evaluation of the property and the title has to be done. And so it's the best of the combination of that, and along with the ED and the physical check.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. This is my first time on the call. So just a basic question. How does it work if we are funding the fabricator? Do we lend against the purchase order issued by the fabricator's end customer, or will it be against APL Apollo's distributor's sales invoice? I just want to understand if we'll have access to the actual tonnage or the volume being purchased from APL Apollo.
Yeah, typically when he gives a performer invoice from a retailer, and after the onboarding, we disburse directly to the retailer, and after disbursement, the final invoice is being captured. So we are not funding directly to the customer. 25% is coming from the customer, and 75% we are funding.
Okay. And why fabricator and not the dealer? Is it because
dealer first, the ticket size will be from 5 to 25 crores, maybe even more. And largely it's a quasi secure kind of a product based on receivables and all those. Thirdly, it's a competitive segment between 11 to 13 already being targeted by the larger banks. Even the group company of APL, as if in service, already doing that. So, and we want to in those areas where we are not competing with the larger NBFCs and the banks, and build our knowledge and USP in a segment where the competition from the larger in terms of IRR is not there. So, and the ticket size is smaller, that's why we have chosen to fund the ticketers, and where our skill lies in terms of SME, we are also targeting a little, I would say, one step, I would say, graduate. The customers in SME are also similar, maybe a little one step better than this, and so those dealers are not a cup of our tea, neither in terms of IRR, neither in terms of size, and being a quasi-secured product.
Got it, sir. And so even for future partnerships, it will, we'll be focusing only on retailers then?
Yeah, yeah. But say if you understand, otherwise, where it's a very IR conscious market, I would like, Amit will also add from his experience here.
Yeah, basically, what we have made here is a product which is only suited for fabricator. And first, we get a lot of, you know, client on board with, we see what kind of, you know, payment method is there. They are paying on time, plus the churning is fast and getting a better IRR. So in spite of getting into more, you know, clientele, like, you know, funding the retailers or the dealers, better to focus on a one segment, explore it to the best, and earn the rewards once you are master of that product.
Yeah, the second line can be retailers, which to whom the distributors are supplying. That can be a funding between 15% to 18%, and the ticket size can go up from 25 lakhs to 1 crore. That can be a second segment, but we still don't want to do it because of at this size of a company, it doesn't allow us to take that kind of risk by doing unsecured loans with a high ticket size. So we will like to remain ourselves in this segment for next, I would say, 1 year, then we will look at retailers. But this instrument is helping us building relationships with retailers and distributors, and that we can definitely leverage in the coming years.
Got it, sir. Makes sense. And second, the Suvidha platform that we're building, is it going to be fungible in a sense? Can we plug and play with a, say, a B2B e-commerce platform like, you know, Grasim has launched Birla Pivot and they're looking for lenders, L&T has Sufin. Are we looking at partnering with such platforms?
So primarily, they have their platforms here, their dealers and retailers, which have a better, I would say, audience in terms of customers in, these are little kind of a subprime kind of a customers. They are organized like, players with having organized shops and dealers. So we are going a category below what the category which we have just proposed and which I have been saying earlier. They are funding to dealers and retailers. And we are going with the end borrower who is converting, that putting value addition by using that product and converting it. If I just take your example, it is like funding to those painters who may buy from retail shops and do that fabric of a painting on a per square foot basis to the customers. So, but they are not going to that segment, they are only going to the retailers and distributors.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And finally, which IT company is helping us build the Suvidha platform, the LOS system?
I think the company which we gave our first mandate, who was Synorec. So we do all that. We are just, it's a kind of in-house company for us because of all our LOS, LMS, which we were the first vendor and a lot of knowledge has come from our side to them. And we have a good synergy. We are able to leverage each other far better, and the kind of so working with a bigger company, if we give on that tweaking our product on daily basis based on the learning, then the to and fro from the larger companies become very very slow and cumbersome, and from here we have a very good advantage.
Sorry, sir, what was the name?
It is Synorec. It is Sinovac. It's a company based out of Jaipur and also
Mumbai.
Okay. The reason I asked was, is the delay because of their capabilities that is causing the delay because there's a company called Vfin, which the PSUs are preferring.
It's a name, but it is delay on the both sides because they were also busy because we have been working with them on reunting other LOS, which Rishta already told earlier. So most of the team was working on the beta 2 version of the LOS. A lot of input has come from us. We were also integrating the accounting part, integrating the accounting also. So the thirdly, they were focusing on making an LMS for our wholesale segment also, which had a lot of complications. So they were preoccupied at the same time. There was a lot of tweaking every day based on the learning. And so I would say to both the ends, they were also slow, and for us, from us also a lot of changes were being told to them and I would say so frequently, which Rishta can explain.
And in my past experience of of making so many technologies, and we've worked with a lot of technology vendors, and we've kind of realized bigger the company it is, initially they would really sound that the projects can be completed well within time, but in our personal experiences, we have seen that the larger companies have taken way beyond their time, and with this company, like Sir had earlier mentioned, we have had a good synergy, and the turnaround time for developing those platforms, even with the way we are giving our changes on a morning evening basis, it has been very, very prompt. And we have worked with, to name a few vendors, we have worked with Jaguar, Sinvan, Lentra, Nucleus, and so many other companies we have worked with. None of them have been that responsive. So we can call it a mixture of a combination of both the parties, which has led to a little delay in the product launch.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side, and all the very best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Lada from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, couple of questions. Sir, this Suvidha loan platform which we are developing, what is the cost associated in the platform we are taking up? And also this TED, which we have said is less than 6 hours, has been be done in the Q2 FY22 or it will take time?
That's why that there was limitation with the existing system, and the existing was more a kind of a term loan kind of system, but it is a more quasi personal loan and unsecured. So in terms of cost, as you know, we have been the first customers, and a lot of knowledge about the product we are giving to them. So the cost advantage is also usually with us, and as compared to the larger one, they are very cost effective, and we may be giving them 30 to 40%, which the larger one will charge, and the turnaround time is far, far better. And we don't negotiate on the, I would say, giving the scope and then negotiating the commercials. So that is also big, I would say, help us first. We only, so that kind of synergy and relationship we have with them. So, yes, as compared to the larger one, they are more flexible and even cost competitive.
So can we quantify that amount?
Quantify it will be roughly between 30 to 50 lakhs, and then there are AMCs and announcement costs which keep on happening at every time.
Sure. So my second question would be on, since we are witnessing a strong demand in the housing segment, so are we looking at the wholesale segment AUM to increase, or we will be restrict ourselves, you know, as we previously also said that we will restrict and commit not increase the AUM in the wholesale segment. Is that intention is stay intact, or are we increasing that AUM?
Chandan will explain more. I will just say one thing. Strategically, we have decided that the focus is more on the retail, but at the same time, our housing segment is being extremely good. If you have seen in this segment also, I would say our collections, prepayment was equal to more than our book. Collections were roughly around 752 crore, whereas book closing book is around 500 something. So it is very well explained in those numbers that lot of pre-closures, pre-payment has happened and lot of boarding and the disbursement figures were higher. So so the focus will be to do more business by doing downselling and doing on the co-lending, yeah, on the about housing and how it's doing. Chandan can add on that side.
Yeah, hi, Chandan this side. As you have mentioned that the demand in the housing sector is robust, definitely we are very much positive on the sector side, on the real estate side also. But as Rohit has already mentioned that we are targeting an AUM mix of 55 to 45. Definitely if the, on growing book side or AUM side, once it grows, then definitely the on-book AUM of real estate book, that is the wholesale part, will also go grow in sync with that part or itself. As mentioned earlier, we are focusing on downselling part and the fee-based, increasing our fee-based income also. So the main focus is totally towards on that part, on growing real estate through co-lending or DA kind of arrangement, where our book, we will be restricting our on-book AUM towards 45 or 55 kind of mix on total AUM part, and rest we would be boarding on the kind of DA or co-lending kind of arrangements.
Thanks a lot. Sir, my next question would be, since we have already, the rating has been upgraded and you have also mentioned that the weighted average would be the cost of borrowing, we will be benefiting by 50 to 70 basis points. So can we assume that NIM can increase in the year itself like 100 basis points, or it can be below that if we can answer it?
I would say the... about 25 to 30% of the benefit that we will get, because it will be only on the incremental one, and so the existing one renegotiating will be difficult. It is only when they get repaid on their incremental borrowing. So in terms of names, I would say whatever what can the, with the benefit, cost of borrowing, said my initial cost of borrowing can go down by 50 to 75 basis. Yeah. So it is only an incremental cost. I would say in terms of names, 0.25 to 0.3% can be the net addition in the first year. In the second, third year, that will be we can see a little high figure, but in the first year, that will be the maximum impact that can have.
And sir, in the cost side, since we are, you know, increasing on platform and the employer cost and also on the branches front, so how much the cost we can expect to increase in the year or 2 years down the line, and what is the impact on that side will be taking place?
So the larger portion of the IT spend has already happened. So going forward, the spend on that side will not be huge. And apart from the AMC cost and other, and in terms of employee cost, as I told earlier in the presentation also, that our middle level and the senior level employees are there, and they can do even 2.5 times business of the SME with the same team. It is only that junior retail team at the branches will be added. So largely in the SME, in the retail segment, you build cost upfront because of the senior team and the middle level team, and it gets optimized over years, I would say, and we have already achieved done in that last 3-4 years. And going forward, our incremental cost will be on the team at the branch level. So it will not have a huge impact apart from the impact on the appraisals and other sides. So
so on the branch cost side, if we can, that is also not will be significant.
Branch cost is roughly in terms of including all costs, if we are having 5 people, 1 BM, CM, and a guy between 3.5 lakhs to around 3.5 lakhs, including rentals and everything per month.
Thanks a lot, sir.
A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, one question on SME retail. I see that some of the products have a tenure of even 7 to 8 years. From whatever I've seen, MSME at such tenures is always a risk. The max that even banks go up to is, say, 3-4 years. How comfortable are you with this long tenure SME loans?
No, firstly, I would say in industry, less than 3-4 years, it's a largely unsecured product. None of NBFC in any housing companies, maybe even the form of LAP, which is largely a LAP, but in the form of housing, they are giving from 10 to 15 years. And going any product to segment where we are catering, because it is for them, both they want a minimum amount which they are able to, which can help in their businesses. And at the same time, the EMI cannot go beyond their which they can't service. And thirdly, there is also, I would say, a lot of competition from the market, and everybody is offering a product where we are in. I would say none of the company, they are giving larger tenure. We are restricting ourselves to 7 years, and most of the companies are giving between 10 years to 12 years, and that is where most of the competition is hurting us, and few of the customers and our sales team has been pressing us for last 2-2.5 years to increase our tenure, and we have been resisting our team that we can't increase it, and this is our competition, maybe a smaller or a bigger company, the tenure is more in the range of 7 to 12 years. Still, we have tried to restrict ourselves, and average tenure is around 6.5 to 7 years. And thirdly, foreclosures are 15%, and more or less, if the count is fine, either the counts get taken over by other, unless until we don't give him additional amount or sometimes for want of lower IRR. So typically, we say an average life of a customer in MSME tenure is around 4 years.
Okay. And if you could name your competitors in this particular product, SME retail?
Yeah, I would say smaller ticket size from 5 to 15 lakhs. Finova is there, AVM Housing is there, Star Housing is there, even Vatla is in a school loan, so then Cholamandalam, 5-star, AU Small Finance Bank is there, and Shriram Transport is also coming up in certain areas. Capri Global is there. So different segments, Star, SK Finance, so these are all of the segments if I run through all, starting from Aadhar, Avaas, Adani, AgriWise, Access, Bajaj, Canara, Capri, DCB, Fed Bank, and Shriram, Piramil, also. So different areas, different products. As we have a product from 5 to 30, 40 lakhs. Kotak is shifting less than Finova, UVM, SK, Kotak, Liberty, less than 10 lakhs. Namdev is also there in Rajasthan. Certain geography, certain place. So every geography we fight 2 to 3 to 4 people who are our main competitors. So, but there is lot of market size still underpenetrated, and still this is a segment where I would say any NBFC can build domain if they work around under the same segment with few products. So the every 10 NBFCs have a tenure more than 7 years.
Okay, and all the sourcing is in-house, I believe, or do we use
so
any...
We don't have a DSA model in our company, but we don't say that certain it comes through, sometimes comes through intermediaries, what they call connectors, and through their relationships. Yeah, we only encourage direct model, but says 25-30% business can come through the various relationships, maybe called as connectors or small DSA.
Primarily with DSA.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and any particular reason for not engaging these loan aggregators or platforms like, say, someone?
Two, three things. We are not an unsecured loan. We are a loan aggregator based on data. They can, and the customer can come through various forms. Secondly, the DSAs would like to target a bigger ticket size, 25 lakh, 50 lakh plus. So they don't target too much. Larger, bigger DSA don't target less than 20 lakh kind of a segment. and where the small DSAs or individual small connectors or relationship guys working in particular small geographies and aligning them with few NBFCs that are working in that area, in that product. So that is the way that is happening, and our focus is to tell our team to go directly in various marketing. I think Amit can explain a little more.
So the idea of not engaging DSAs or loan aggregator is very, very simple. And these kind of clients to be, you know, directly targeted by the team, so that there is no intermediaries are there, no fraudulent activities happening. They have been, the customers are, these are basically unbanked and unorganized sector. So it is better to target them directly instead of getting through intermediaries, because that creates, that open the door for various means of, you know, services from DSAs in terms of, you know, in name of services, they charge a lot of things from clients. So we don't want to get into that. And these clients are basically a first-time entrepreneur, first or second-time entrepreneur, and they want money for their working capital. So the need is not much, and DSA will never come into this, you know, segment, because they will not get any kind of, you know, commission from any of the NBFC, you know, on a larger note. So that's the reason it is always better to approach these clients directly rather than getting into the loan aggregator mode or from a DSA.
Perfect, sir. Finally, on collections, even that is in-house, but say today in wholesale we have 70 accounts, roughly SME 2,800 accounts, but in Suvidha we are already at 1,500. So the given the ticket size is lower, the number of accounts, the number of people you will be dealing with will be larger. How are you going to...
Suvidha, we are around roughly around 850 clients on board. Active, we have... not 8,000.
No, I it's 1,500. No, anyway, so how are you going to build your collection capabilities given there will be a huge jump in...
For SME and Suvidha, it is a beautiful combination for RO and RM to earn incentive on the both fronts. So in Suvidha, the RO and RM who is sourcing the business, they have been given a target of collecting as well, and till now it has been working very fine, because they are getting incentive for doing businesses also, and they are trying to, you know, meet the client on a daily basis if there is any collection is there, because it's a shorter term loan, 90 days loan, and within 60 days we are trying to, you know, collect the amount so that the client also gets the benefit of subvention. So there is no need of collection external agency right there right now. Coming into SME, we have around 2,800 client, but the collections pool which come to us, we are able to cater, because up to 6 months it is a, you know, sales team also who is going hand in hand with the collection team for collecting the EMIs, and primarily, like Rachita also said, most of the collection is also coming from UPI and NACH. Only 9% which are coming from collection. So till the time these trends are there, we are not getting into any help from external agencies for collections as of now.
And secondly, I would say it's our experience when we did fintech lending, and where we did 10,000 loans, and they used to outsource their collection from outside agencies. They are not absolutely working. They only appoint people, do telecalling, and they don't have feet on street. So neither they know the customer, neither the customer knows them. So typically we have a wide collection officer in every branch. Roughly around 30 collection officers, one regional head and one national head. So that is a typical size, and apart from that, the local sales team who have done the that account is responsible for 6 to 9 months, and after that it comes to collection. Our typical acceptance ratio is around 75% to 77%, 23% bouncing, which typically is the nature of our industry segment because of seasonality and so many issues, and because we only give a one date. We put all dash in a one single date, and sometimes, and which is early of the in the month, it's 4th, and there will lot of demand to put. Now we will be having 2 dates going forward with the new LOS coming and LMS. So the out of even 27%, large of the most of them is coming through various, I would say, modes, payment gateways, and only 7% is coming from cash collection. So to give a very NASH is 74%, 17% is UPI, check is wallets or RTGS, and all those are around 3-4%. And
for 9%, will you require any agencies for collections?
Yeah.
Got it. Perfect, sir. All of this is very heartening and
good to hear. Outside collection agencies for our segment can never work.
Yeah.
Any company telling you, I will never buy that argument, they are not at all helpful. It is helpful in the unsecured loan, and when you write off, give you at a substantial discount or a kind of an arrangement of that kind. But in a segment of a secured product, every company have to have their own collection team.
Thank you. Thank you for this, sir, for very detailed answers. I'm excited to see the future for CSL Finance. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Gupta for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. I think we had a decent financial year 24, and we are forcing that, as now we have already done with all those, I would say, the consolidation in the SME, the focus in growing ourselves, and we have kept little bigger targets for ourselves for next coming 2 years, and we hope we'll be able to achieve that. So thank you all of you, and thank you, Sayam, and your team.
On behalf of CSL Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.